Each Sunday morning, we look at something in Baptist history, and we've been looking in January at the, Reformation in Switzerland, and then the radical opposition to that Reformation by the Baptists. And wanted to continue that this morning just to kind of clarify some things. I had a couple of questions from people asking me some things that weren't clear, but the apostles in the very earliest days of Christianity, and we just studied these chapters, and I was talking to Pastor Vogel in Acts chapter 5, they were put to the test, and they passed the test because Peter said in Acts chapter 5, and this would have been perhaps months, maybe within the year that, since Jesus had gone back to heaven, and Peter said that in a challenge to by the rulers of that day, Acts 4:19, he said, "Whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye." And the choice for these apostles was obvious. They needed to obey the clear command of God when it opposed what the state said, what the rulers said. And then in chapter 5, Peter goes on to say, we ought to obey God rather than man. And so this is the principle that is established very early in the earliest days of Christianity. Now imagine, let's leap forward almost 1,500 years. Imagine you live in the Reformation era. And now, instead of the Council of Elders in Jerusalem, you have a corrupt Catholic Church that for centuries has taught tradition and really opposes the true preaching of the gospel. And so the Reformers had a dilemma. It seemed that the state was the only thing that could provide protection. John Huss had been burned at the stake because the emperor was not able to give him safe conduct. Wycliffe only survived in England because of the protection offered by his friend, who was the king's uncle. Even Luther was protected by the electors of Saxony. That's how he survived. And so it seemed to the Reformers that the only way to survive was to have a state church. And so this is the dilemma they had. As I said, the state protection seemed to be the only key to survival for anybody in the Reform movement. So we're talking about the Swiss Reformation, and the man there, the Swiss Reformer, is Ulrich Zwingli. And by his own testimony in 1523, just to keep that date in mind because we're going to go forward from there, but he held that it would be better to baptize children. Better to baptize children when they had come to their years of understanding, because there's no clear utterance in the New Testament that commands the baptism of children. So he's very correct there. Remember, the state church says we need to baptize children. We're going to talk about that in just a minute. And yet just two years later, 1525, he would completely go away from that and change his views on infant baptism and say that he was in error in 1523, and now he's enlightened and children should be baptized. So we're going to study that and see what happened there and his dilemma. Well, the Baptists of that day, and they were called by a derogatory term called Anabaptists. I've talked about this the last couple of weeks. It wasn't a term that they chose. It's a term that the unbelievers gave them for rebaptizing. Anna means again. So rebaptizing, in their minds, everybody's baptized, not in the Baptist mind, but in the state mind, everybody's baptized as a baby. And here these people are coming along saying, no, they when they get saved as adults or older kids, then we baptize them because now that's true scriptural baptism. So they got that name, Anabaptists, because of that. And they opposed infant baptism. And they agreed to debate. There were three main men. We've talked about Mance and a man named Conrad Grable and then a man named George Blowrock. And these three men of God had studied with Zwingli in Bible studies. They had studied the New Testament. They'd all come to the same conclusion. They had been saved. And Zwingli started to stray. And they decided they would debate Zwingli on this subject in January of 1525. So 2 years had gone since Zwingli had said that it was wrong to baptize children, babies, because they need to be saved first. And so the rules of the debate were this. The Anabaptists agreed that they would debate if the only authority to which the debaters would appeal would be the Bible. And that was the rules, which seemed fair enough. Zwingli, however, reneged on his promise. He won the debate by basically shouting them down. The Zurich City Council declared Zwingli the victor, and they decreed, as we looked at last week, that the Anabaptists must have all their children baptized within a week, or there would be severe punishment, banishment, fines, perhaps even death. The Anabaptists refused to comply, so on February 1st, 1525, the council ordered them arrested and said that each one of their children should be baptized as soon as they were born. Then they were fined a huge amount of money. Their properties were confiscated. And then these three men, Mans and Blaurock and Grable, were thrown in prison. Grable was released. Only Mans and Blaurock remained in prison. And as we heard two weeks ago, he died in a mysterious fire, kind of a sad thing. Maybe it was last week you talked about this, but the inquisitors, they were offended that he died before they could say he was convicted. So they tied his body to a chair, took him to court, convicted him there in court, and then took his body, tied to the chair, and burned him at the stake. So it's just a sad day. It turned into a Protestant Inquisition, is what this was. But so they were tortured. These men would eventually all die. But what caused Zwingli to change his opinion? That's what I wanted to look at just quickly. From 1523, when he said that we shouldn't baptize children because the Bible does not say we should. And here was his dilemma. On one hand, he believed and taught that salvation is by faith alone, apart from baptism. But on the other hand, infant baptism was at the heart and soul of the union of church and state. And I go back to what I said a few minutes ago. Really, these reformers had a dilemma. They felt that the only way they could survive was to have this union of church and state. And the only way for church and state to survive is if you baptize babies, because then everybody that's born is immediately part of the church and part of the state. If we wait till they grow up to be adults, then we lose control of that. We have people that aren't part of the church because they're not saved yet. And so I hope that I'm making that clear of what the problem was. So the choice before them was whether to follow the traditions of men or to follow the teaching of Scripture wherever it leads. And following the Scripture meant abandoning the security of state protection. And what's ironic about this whole thing is because of Zwingli's belief in staying the state church concept, it caused his own death later in a religious war where he died. But I wanted to explain that, and I only have a few minutes to explain why it was so important that children are baptized at birth in this state-church relationship, and that's why. And that's why the reformers believed in it, even though they were willing to ignore what the Bible was teaching. So when we look at our religious freedom and we look at what's been passed down to us, I think that we shouldn't thank the reformers for that, although I believe that the reformers did break from the Catholic Church and they did begin, in a sense, a revolution that would reverberate now 500 years later. But really who we need to thank, I think, is these men of conviction like Mans and Blaurock and Grable, who at the cost of their lives decided to obey the Bible and to keep that separation from the church and the state. So I thank the Lord this morning for these men. Next week we're going to look at George Blaurock and his story and his testimony. But again, I want to thank the Lord this morning for this tradition, this conviction that these men had. And within a year, this is January 1525, within a year, all three of these men would be dead. One of them burned the stake, one dies of the plague, and one dies in prison, as I just mentioned. But all dead because of their convictions. So I thank the Lord this morning for these men and their stand against the state.